Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
Our souls long for God, like a deer longs for flowing streams. We are made for communion with God, and it is this relationship that is threatened and tattered by sin. Derision, faithlessness, and egocentrism are among the myriad of transgressions that put God at a distance and disquiet our souls. No matter our situation, our hope and help are found in confessing these ills. Let us speak together our sin, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit has searched us and known us. God has prepared forgiveness for us. We are forgiven. This is the good news God has decreed before the ages. By day the Lord commands true love, and at night God's words wash over us, that we would rise in the morning ready to set out with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving. Let us praise now our God in song by singing together the hymn For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 4, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Christ our Lord, to thee we raise.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Paulsell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it is my very great pleasure to welcome you to our first service of the new academic year. It's First Year Sunday, and we extend a very special welcome to our first-year students and any family members who may be listening. The first-year students arrived on campus this morning, and it's been exciting to see them and to greet them, even from 6 feet away. We know that most of you have your journey to Cambridge still ahead of you, but we wanted to be among the first to welcome you to Harvard. And so we are here, broadcasting on our wonderful student-run radio station, WHRB 95.3 FM, where you can find us every Sunday at 11 a.m. If you'd like to follow along with the hymns and the liturgy, and to read more about our programs and about the music in the service, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. There you can also sign up for our mailing list and receive our daily newsletter with reflections by students, faculty, clergy, and others, instructions in spiritual practices you can try at home, and the prayers of our community. Our service today is led by Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow. The first lesson is read by Alex Grayson, class of 2022, a member of our student advisory board and a student deacon. The second lesson is read by Jeremel De La Rosa Lara, class of 2023, and also a student advisory board member and student deacon. Edward Elwin Jones, the Gund University organist and choirmaster, leads us in the hymns. The offertory and anthem are taken from the Harvard University Choir's 2007 CD, Sing the Glory. The prelude and postlude this morning were recorded on the organ at the First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska this past week by David Von Baron. After the service today, from 12:15 to 1:15, we will be holding a first-year student open house on Zoom, and all first-year students are warmly invited. Members of our student advisory board will be there to welcome you, along with Alana, Wes, and me, and we look forward very much to meeting you and to talking with you about the year ahead. To join us, please email Laura Glass at the email address in the bulletin, and she'll send you the link. Although all of our programs will be virtual this fall, the Harvard University Choir will be holding fall preliminary auditions. For over 180 years, the Harvard University Choir has provided a unique opportunity for student singers to perform diverse choral literature at the highest level, and every Sunday they lift our prayers and our spirits with their beautiful music. To find out more about these auditions, please see the information on our website. Our Church School for Children and our Faith and Life Forum will resume on September 13th. Our theme this year will be Practicing Hope, Habits of Resilience and Resistance, and we look forward to exploring these practices with you. You can read more about our Student Deacon Program, our monthly Practicing Hope reading group, and our weekly Instagram Live broadcast on Thursday evenings in the bulletin. We invite you also to explore our website for recordings of past services and sermons and morning prayers talks from people across Harvard's campus and beyond. The sermons and morning prayers talks are also available on SoundCloud. This is the moment in our service in which we would ordinarily greet one another with a sign of peace, making eye contact, shaking hands, exchanging a hug. It's hard not to have this opportunity to greet each other with affection. We've had to look for other ways to practice the welcome we profess, to reverence the image of God in each other and the invisible connections that bind us together. When we wear a mask to protect the people we encounter, we pass God's peace. We pass God's peace when we refuse to allow racist speech and actions to pass uncritiqued. We pass God's peace when we check on our neighbors or reach out to someone who is sheltering alone. We pass God's peace when we reverence each other's humanity through protest, through service, through prayer. Our offering this morning goes to the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which funds projects of local organizations that meet the needs of the community through meal programs, renovation projects in local shelters, mentoring and tutoring for children. Sharing our resources with these grassroots organizations who know the needs of their neighbors intimately and work to meet them is another way of passing the peace of Christ. There is a donate button at the top right-hand corner of our homepage where you may leave your gift. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
A reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 42, beginning at the first verse. To the leader, a maskil of the Korahites. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Here ends the lesson.
Oh. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are at our beginning and our ending, the Alpha and Omega, the one who wakes us in the morning and settles us to sleep at night. We lift our souls and our very beings to you in this moment of prayer. As we draw near to you, we ask that you guide us, that you cover us, that you hold us in the palm of your hand and cover us with your ever-present love. It is this that we need as we long for hope. Hope for a world to be more loving to one another. Hope that your pure love might cover us, both in our celebrations as well as in our mourning. Advocating Spirit, as students and teachers and parents and administrators and communities face decisions around the start of school, grant wisdom, discernment, and compassion to those who are making decisions on behalf of our most vulnerable. We pray for our incoming first-year students. We pray for those returning to campus, those staying home, those taking a year off. We pray for those charged with caring for our students, their health, and well-being. Holy Spirit, deepen our faith and open our hearts to feel that our campus is not bound by a particular space. May we find new ways to seek connection and to be in relationship with one another. May we all be a little more gracious, a little more tender, a little more patient with one another as we navigate the days and weeks to come. O great Comforter, as we move through this fog of uncertainty, bring us a beacon of clarity, even if just for a moment. If we feel ourselves swallowed by waves of grief, abide with us until we are granted the strength to go on. And when we want to dance with excitement or joy over something that might seem insignificant to others, show us how to celebrate, truly, even while socially distanced. Reveal the ways that we do not dance and rejoice alone. Loving Lord, we pray for our world as we move through more days, more deaths, more recoveries, more difficult conversations around COVID-19. We pray for those in Spain and Italy and Iran, where there have been significantly more deep cases in the past few days. May your healing spread out across to all of us around the world. No one person is experiencing this on their own. No one community makes decisions by themselves. Teach us how to live and move and experience our being as your people, whose responsibilities are bound to one another, beings whose lives are wholly dependent upon you. Reveal your presence to those who are grieving or anxious or in social isolation. Guide each of us towards a fuller understanding of this disease and our interdependence on all of creation. Christ, we also pray for our neighborhoods around the world, where protests by community members over life and death matters continue, even as the media vans move away. We pray for every place where people seek to safely gather in the name of peace, asking for recognition and reparations for their neighbors. This week, we pray particularly for those in Belarus, Hong Kong, and Portland. We uplift a prayer of gratitude for those who have fought against injustices and brought about changes in the past that we now take for granted, such as the right to vote won by the suffragettes 100 years ago this week. God, the work of fighting for justice is ongoing and lifelong. We will not always get it right. The suffragettes did not fully. But may that not impede us from speaking words of solidarity that matter. God, illuminate for us how to take actions that make a difference. Center us in you. Grant us your vision of hope and love. Teach us how to walk with one another down this long road of justice. God, we pray for healing of brokenness as we grieve the loss of life, of businesses, and of your natural world. We uplift a prayer of mourning for the cyclist who lost his life in the crash this week in Harvard Square. We uplift the people of Iowa, where tornadoes have changed lives forever and have demolished the livelihood of so many. We pray for courage and resiliency for those facing wildfires in California, especially for those in danger's path, and those who are suffering renewed trauma because of losses suffered in previous years. Breathe into the lives of these, your beloved children. Bring your comfort, your power, and your love where your children are crying out. We ask for your healing and love in a world which feels like it's falling apart. God, in all things, we discover again our finitude. And in these moments, we pray ourselves back into your arms of mercy and grace. Show us how to delight in what is good, to confront what is cruel, to heal what is damaging. Give to us a discerning strength to move into the next moment, the next day, the next act of compassion and courage. In all these things, abide with us, O Spirit and Word of comfort and truth. Amen. And let us join in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then we will go to your altar, O God, our exceeding joy. And we will praise you with the harp, O God, our God. Amen. I moved into my freshman dorm in Greensboro, North Carolina, in 1981, and one way or another, I've been in school ever since. That means I've experienced almost 40 new school years, 40 move-in days, 40 orientations, 40 first days of class. Every one of those new beginnings has been memorable, each one unique, special in some way. But in all that time, I have never experienced a beginning of a school year like this one. I'm used to the headlong rush of these first days of school, throwing our arms around those we haven't seen in a while, new friends huddling together as they stand in line for ID photos or food, and crowding into each other's rooms to talk and talk and talk. This beginning, with its careful gestures and its choreography of distance, is something new. Still, beneath the surface of our COVID rules and protocols, the excitement of the new school year is stirring. Every year, this university is challenged and changed by the questions, ideas, and aspirations that its newest members bring with them. Even in this strange time, with so few students on campus and so few buildings open, it's hard not to feel the excitement of the new school year, and all the possibilities banked up inside each person, not only those here on campus, but all of our students, spread out across the world. Of course, there's not just excitement moving beneath the surface. There's also grief. Some have lost beloved family and friends to this dangerous virus. Some have had to say goodbye to those we love over the phone, or over Zoom, or in our prayers. Some are mourning the loss of opportunities, canceled internships, chances to study abroad that evaporated as the world shut down. And we're all feeling the loss of a campus in full swing. We're grieving the serendipitous encounters in dining halls, the limitations of the Zoom box. Believe me when I say that your teachers and your deans, your chaplains and tutors and proctors, none of us want this truncated experience for you. We want you to have the whole campus, the whole world in which to learn, in which to experiment with your life and practice being the person you hope to become. Along with excitement and grief, I imagine some of you are wondering if you made the right choice to begin college this fall. There's a lot going on right now in our country and the world, events and movements that demand our attention and make a claim on our lives. There's a worldwide pandemic that has wrecked the economy and left so many people without jobs. There is a deeply consequential election only 2 months away. And there's an ongoing uprising in response not only to the murder of George Floyd and so many others,
but to the long history of racism in this country and the very real consequences it continues to have in people's lives. Even in the midst of the excitement of the new year, maybe you're wondering if there's somewhere else you're needed right now. Maybe with all that is happening in the world, you're unsure of where you ought to be. All of these feelings, the excitement, the grief, the uncertainty, reflect the things that matter most to us. And the things that matter most to us, who we are, what we hope for, what we love, what we fear, what we feel called to do and be in this world, are often hidden below the surface. We can't always see what's stirring within each other just by looking. We have to find a way to share our deepest questions and our fiercest hopes for them to become visible. I love the way that Psalm 42, read so beautifully for us by Alex Grayson, describes the sharing of what is beneath the surface. Deep calls to deep, the psalmist says. God speaks to us from the depths where God dwells, the psalmist seems to say, and addresses us in our own depths. For the psalmist, this is an overwhelming experience, akin to being underwater in the ocean and feeling powerful currents and waves moving above our heads. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me, the psalmist writes. Psalm 42 moves back and forth between confronting God's absence and hoping in God's presence, seeking God in memory and in song, in mourning and anger and praise. A monk I once knew used to say that the Psalms take us all the way in and all the way down, leaving no dimension of our humanity unexpressed. Psalm 42 offers language for the vulnerability of this moment, what it feels like when what is hidden is laid bare by the forces of history, the long-standing inequalities, the deep-seated prejudice, the violence, and how those depths call to us in our depths, asking how we will respond. The passage from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, read so powerfully by Jeremel de la Rosa Lara, also talks about depths, the depths of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, and the depths of our own humanity. When those hidden depths go unacknowledged by those in power, Paul says, violence results. If the rulers of this age understood the hidden depths of God and humans, he writes, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is the relationship between a refusal to acknowledge the hidden depths in ourselves and others and acts of violence? Toward the end of World War I, as the casualties accumulated into the tens of millions, the novelist Virginia Woolf wrote in her diary that our ability to kill each other must reflect a lack of imagination, an inability to imagine the possibilities furled up inside each one of us. This doesn't just happen in war, of course. When a police officer knelt on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, he could not have been thinking of all the possibilities furled up within George Floyd's life, nor the invisible connections between Mr. Floyd and all those he loved and who loved him, nor the dignity of his humanity. In order to care for each other, we have to reverence the mystery of each other, the hidden depths we each contain. For what human being knows what is truly human, Paul asks, except the human spirit that is within? To reverence the dignity of our shared humanity, this is what the Memorial Church is for. It's a place to cultivate the human spirit that is within, that recognizes and honors the human spirit in everyone. A place to practice giving what theologian Howard Thurman calls unhurried attention to what is moving in our own depths and in the depths of others. To cultivate the capacity to search out what is most human in all of us to cherish it and protect it, a place where deep calls to deep. That's what this university, at its best, is for, too. The philosopher Simone Weil once wrote that the purpose of our school studies is less about getting to the right answers and more about cultivating our capacity for attention. Whether we're studying languages or mathematics or liturgy or theology, she said we're learning to be present to what is not ourselves without trying to turn it into ourselves. And that capacity, they said, teaches us to be genuinely present to what is other than ourselves, to God, and to our suffering neighbor. It's almost a miracle, they said, to be able to bring our whole attention to someone who is suffering. We want to domesticate that suffering, make it comprehensible, less painful to behold. We can practice resisting that temptation in our studies, they said. We can learn how to be patient as understanding unfolds. We can learn to reverence even those things that remain hidden, things beneath the surface that remain out of our reach. There is so much that conspires to keep us drifting across the surface of our lives. The busyness that keeps us racing from obligation to obligation, making it hard to remember the questions and hopes that set us on our path in the first place. Distractions erode our capacity to know our own depths, much less the depths of others. Our fear about the future, our own and the world's, can be so paralyzing that it keeps us from joining others to work for a different future. But class of 2024, you have entered college not only at a moment of profound difficulty, but also, perhaps, a moment of opportunity. So much has been laid bare in ourselves and in our world. Amid the confrontation with our histories and the demands for change, amid the quarantine and the social distancing, we can hear an invitation to live more deliberately, as Henry David Thoreau, who entered Harvard College 187 years before you, once put it, to front, as he said, the essential facts of life. If we are to disentangle the future of this country from its legacy of white supremacy, we will have to make deliberate choices about all aspects of our lives, including our institutional lives, in places like Harvard and places like the Memorial Church. In our desire to protect each other and the communities around us, we will have to make deliberate choices about how to spend our time, how to move our bodies through the world, how to reach safely across the distances between us. We have an opportunity in this time to slow down, to take the time to reach out to one another from our depths, from the place where the things that matter most to us are stirring. This church exists to support you in this, as you seek to make your life in this new place, whether you are on campus this semester or not. It's a place to engage what is happening beneath the surface, a place to be addressed in your depths and to address the depths of others, a place to nourish and strengthen your spirit so that you can be your most creative, your most generative, your most deeply human self. Simone Weil once wrote about experimental certainties, things we can't know unless we practice knowing them, things we can't believe unless we act as if they were true, things we can't understand until we find out what they mean through practicing them with others. This church is a place to practice having faith, to pray as if someone were listening, to wrestle with ideas as if they might eventually bestow a blessing, to join others in service as if the world might be transformed. It is a place where no question is off limits, for as Paul says, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. It is a place to practice living, as the Benedictines say, in conversatio morum, a continual conversion of life, a permanent openness to change. In this time of excitement and sorrow and uncertainty, this is a place to join others in going beneath the surface, seeking new possibilities within our humanity that help us imagine what the world and we ourselves might become. Amen. Our benediction is a pilgrimage blessing that has been prayed over people about to begin a new journey together since the 11th century. May God be for us and we for one another, a defense in emergency, a harbor in shipwreck, a refuge on the journey, shade in the heat, light in the storm, a staff on the slippery slope, joy amid suffering, consolation in sadness, safety in adversity, caution in prosperity, that we may safely arrive where we are boldly going. Amen. This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.